probably a good idea if we pray, huh? Lord, we just sang that you're the shepherd and that we need you. Much we need your tender care. Help us to learn today what it is you want us to learn. Help us to learn how to be of maximum service to you and to others. Thanks for loving us in spite of ourselves. Thanks for never, ever letting us go. In your name, Jesus. Amen. So wasn't that the scripture lesson long? We're going to take the next hour and a half to go verse by verse for that. Just kidding. Just kidding. When I read the book, though, I've never been a huge fan of the Gospel of John because I like Mark so much, and so rarely do I sit down and read, but it's a good book to read. I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding you. Right before this, it tells us why the book was written, why John wrote this book. This is in chapter 20, and it's the last two verses of chapter 20, right before the chapter 21. This is the next thing. It says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these were written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name." I like that. Through believing. Come to believe. I think we're still all coming to believe. None of us are perfect in our faith, thank goodness. It's that old line called progress, not perfection. So background on this story that Pastor McLean read so beautifully was, this is a story that about a guy primarily that really let Jesus down. I mean, bad dog, Peter. Ooh, bad dog. You remember that night, right? That goes back to that night in Jerusalem where everything had gone wrong. Nothing was living up to Pete's expectations. It had all gone so tragically wrong. On the night of Jesus' trial and arrest, Peter stood by warming himself in the shadows by a charcoal fire. And just as Jesus predicted, Peter then does what? He denies knowing Jesus three times. He even curses. It's in there. Three times. And the rooster crows. And Peter cries. So what does that have to do with us? I'm so glad you asked that. What does this story have to do with us? Some ideas. If we're honest with ourselves, I think we can all say that we've let someone else down in our life, right? Anyone never let anyone down? That's a double negative. Yeah. Yeah, you're perfect. You're perfect. I know. I let people down all the time. Those moments, you know, sometimes it's a family member, right? Or someone, maybe you let down a colleague at work, or maybe you failed a friend in some way. And you know what? If we think about it, we can all recall occasions when we've said or done something that we know displeased the Lord. Those moments when our words and behaviors, they're less than Christ-like. Can anyone relate to that? And so do you think Peter's the only guy, the only person to do the very thing he swore never to do? Maybe you've heard it this way. From now on, I'm going to bridle my tongue. Anyone have difficulty engaging their brain before their mouth besides me? It's like it's just... Then both feet are in your mouth. It's like, oh. Or this. Maybe you say, no more shady deals. I've learned my lesson. The volume of our boasting can be embarrassing at times. the heartache and the shame afterwards. Rather than resist flirting, we return it. Rather than ignore gossip, we share it. Rather than stick to the truth, we shade it. And oh, the rooster crows. The conviction pierces. Peter has a friend in the shadows. And we weep as Peter did. So Easter comes along, right? Jesus rises from the dead. Peter couldn't be forgiven for what he had done, right? He blew it terribly, can't forgive the guy. Surely there's no chance for this knucklehead Peter that the risen Lord would ever want him back on the team. No chance. No chance the relationship, the Lord would restore that. Mm-mm. But then there was that breakfast, right? Beside the lake that would prove Peter wrong. Alongside another charcoal fire, Christ would forgive his friend. Peter's relationship would be restored, and he would be recommissioned for service. Hopefully, this story encourages us whenever we let down our Lord, right? A story that tells us that even if we failed the Lord in the past over and over and over again, we can be forgiven. A breakfast meal. Who likes breakfast? Isn't it the greatest meal of the morning? It's like, oh, yes. Put all those protein and stuff on board and you get to burn it up all day long. They're having breakfast, and what does Jesus say? He says, come have breakfast. You see, Christianity is about relationship. It's not a religion. A relationship that Peter and the other disciples enjoyed on the beach that morning. Hey, we're having breakfast with Jesus. This is great. He invites them to have breakfast with him, and Jesus was extending an offer of what? Here's a renewed friendship. He was inviting to enjoy fellowship, just kind of like maybe we might be doing later this week, fellowship with a meal where you can love each other up. It was proof that even the most wayward disciple, right, can enjoy forgiveness and friendship and Jesus if we just repent. And when you get to the part of the meat of this, how about that post-breakfast conversation Pete had with Jesus? Did you get a little uncomfortable about that one? Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? Do you think there's a correlation between Jesus asking him three times and Pete kind of denying him three times? Am I reading too much into that? Three times, do you love me? Peter confesses three times, Lord, you know I love you. You know everything. I love you. I confess. Yes, yes, yes. Interesting responses from Jesus, too. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Tend my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. So maybe I have it wrong, but does it kind of look like we're supposed to trust God, right? And then clean house, confess. Get rid of anything that stands in the way of our usefulness to God and others, right? And then go serve people. Trust God. Clean house, serve others. Jesus has a way, a knack. There's something about this character. He has a way of getting to the heart of the matter with all of us. Jesus helped Peter confront his true motives. Jesus helped Peter to clear away the wreckage of his past with love and grace. I'm still questioning this verse. So when you go home tonight, look up John 21, verse 17. at the end of the three times, do you know, you love me, you love me? It says Peter felt hurt. Here's the odd question. Consider the source. Odd guy, right? We're almost done, by the way. You can wake up now. The odd question is, do you think that Jesus kept pushing Peter until Peter was deeply wounded as a way to help Peter deal with his unfaithfulness? Am I looking at that oddly? Was it to help Peter in his searching inventory of himself? I don't know. I do know this, that the love of God is greater than our ability to deserve it or live up to it. And you can't earn it. Peter's lowest moment, Jesus doesn't condemn. God bless you. Peter is full of fear, and Jesus is full of love and full of forgiveness. So if you're sitting here this morning with a troubled conscience or a guilty secret, thinking that what you've done is so horrible that God could never, ever forgive you, Peter said, "You know everything, Lord. Don't try to hide that secret. The Lord knows everything. So come to him. Run to him. Christ is ready, willing, and able to forgive. So repent. Confess." And Jesus says what? He welcomes you with open arms and says, "I gotcha. I love you." Amen.